and there were just a bunch of different lights in them and on the side everywhere. And you would have to go push a button, you know, like you push it in your car, you push a button and the light comes on. And I began to push these different buttons and lights were coming on, you know. I really believe what the Lord says is kind of the time we're in is a real time of revelation from the Lord, you know, where a light comes on to you, you know, and you've got to push the button, right? And then when I was here today, I just kept seeing this, like the Lord's hand reaching out, you know, and it was like inviting people. Like you'd go through those banners back there, whatever that is, that cloth, kind of like representing the veil. The Lord was inviting each person into, you know, the veil. The veil stand, His presence, in other words, is what it meant. Then those go together. And then I saw some sand and like some heat, fire hitting that sand and turning it into glass. And, of course, the fire of the Holy Spirit's doing that. We're going to talk about that today. But we're just in a time where, you know, what's being preached and said is about who we are in Christ. That's the greatest revelation, changed my life. Everything flows from that. And so we're in a time where if you personally will ask the Lord to give you revelation, He will give you revelation. That's what pushing that button meant. You've got to press the button. Nobody can do it for you, right? It's got to be you. And we'll start there. So I'll get somebody to pray for me. Ron, do you mind praying for me? Amen. We're going to be jumping around mainly in the book of John. And I think the last maybe three times I've spoken in chapel, not in chapel, but yeah, chapel too. And then noonday communion, I've been just kind of staying in John chapter 15. So we'll end up there. The Lord, I know the Lord wants me to get it. I'm trying to get it, right? Because there's deeper revelation there. There always, the rest of your life and the eternity. But in Ephesians chapter 1, this is a prayer that Paul's praying for these guys. He's just, you know, starting in chapter 1 from the beginning about all they have in Christ, right? And that's what that whole book is about. But he prays this prayer for them. It says, starting in 1:15 of Ephesians, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Here's what his prayer was, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you," it says a spirit in a lot of translation, but it actually will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And the spirit of the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the wisdom and revelation. In other words, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would give you revelation in what I'm telling you. Okay? Because it's going to take the Holy Spirit dwelling within you to say, to pop the lights on. Ah, I see. I can see what you're saying now. Okay? So, saying that, let's go to John chapter 14. We know John, I think in chapter 13 through end of 17 is the upper room discourse, where this is the last things that Jesus spoke to his disciples. It's just so full. Thank God for John recording it all, right? The other guys didn't, but he did. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will remind you what I say to you." And so he did, thank goodness. In just a few verses, we're going to jump around. Because what I really want us to see is what I've been talking about is that God would stir something in your heart, the Holy Spirit would stir something in your heart, and that you would do something extremely simple. And that's ask, right? In Luke chapter 11, he says he'll give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks, right? That we would begin to ask the Holy Spirit for us personally to give us revelation. 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, who is abiding in me, does his works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. And this is when he's starting to use this word, abiding, which that's where we're going to kind of be. We'll be there a little bit too. And abiding here is the same word that we see in chapter 15, which can mean a dwelling, right? A home, a dwelling, a place of your abode to remain there. Okay? But to me it helps in this context. He's saying the Father lives in me, right? And it's his abode. And he's going to remain. He remains there with me. He doesn't come and go. Okay? He's there. He is abiding in me. This is what it's going to look like for you too. All right. Verse 16. He's kind of feeding into how all this is going to work. I will ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him now know him, but you know him because he abides with you, because he's in Jesus and he's around them. But he's going to be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So this is the first time he starts using these terms to describe the Holy Spirit. One, as the helper, which some translations says comforter, right? Or advocate, or intercessor. Okay? Helper, comfort, advocate, intercessor. The Holy Spirit. And that word intercessor means to help you hit the mark. To make sure that it really is from a term to like an archery term where you hit the mark. You hit the bullseye. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure that you hit the bullseye. Okay? He's the helper. He's to help you get it. Okay? Not only is he called the helper, one, and that word means to call alongside, all those cool words, right? But he's the Spirit of truth. Okay? He's the very essence of truth. And we'll read a verse in a minute. It's called the Spirit of truth, who will lead you into all the truth. Okay? So God wants to give you to get it. So therefore, he's given you the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, right? So that He will give you truth. Okay? So if you're trying to get this stuff, like I hear what you're saying about being in Christ or completing Christ, but I just can't seem to get it. Well, you've been filled with something to help you get it. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have actually asked the Holy Spirit, give me revelation in this. Speak to me. Turn the light on for me. So it become real to me, right? Because I don't want to, and I tell this people all the time, I don't want to be a person who just gets up here and just repeats what somebody else has said. I want it to be real, don't you? I mean, I want it to be who I am in Christ to be real to me, my identity, everything, okay? And you've already got all the equipment to do that. All right, he won't leave you as orphans, he will come to you. In that day, verse 20, you will know that I am the Father, you and me, and I and you. In that day, he's talking about the day of Pentecost. In that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will know that I'm in you, you're in me, we're all in this thing together, okay? Kind of a thing they couldn't understand, but something that was really going to happen to them, okay? And that's the whole deal about, and you'll see his whole teaching throughout these few chapters, is all about being invited into the unity of the Trinity, right? Being invited into the life of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. An invitation like the Lord was reaching his hand out and said, I'm inviting you into something to experience something that you already have. So just about all the teaching through there is about him being in you, you being in him, now you're there. He's, you know, he, with them. And so that's why he's saying this. In verse 20, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. All right, verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him, and now we will make our abode with him. We will abide in him. Okay? That's what, again, that word, our abode, to abide. We will make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. Okay? He's using that word again. Because he was with them. Okay? He didn't leave them. He was present to them. But the Helper, again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. Cool, right? And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So here again, he's calling him the Helper. The Holy Spirit, but he's also now, again, the Teacher. Not only the Spirit of Truth, but the Teacher. To teach you, right? If you've got someone who says you have a teacher, that person is there to teach you, right? Real simple. Okay. All right, in 15, towards the end, we're going to come back to 15 in a minute. Just want to encourage you with this. 15:26. Sorry, I didn't have a outline for you. I'm kind of old school. I'm like, get your Bible, underline it, and write in it, right? I do that with my students. They hate it. Oh, we're taking notes again today. I said, yeah, you're taking notes. You're going to take notes in college, you know? So, not that I'm against, I do give out notes, but I'm just saying I don't have them today, so we're old school today, all right? You actually have to bring your Bible with you. All right, verse 26, when the Helper comes, again, your Helper, your Advocate, your Comforter, your Intercessor, that's going to help you hit the mark, whom I will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he's going to testify about me. And you'll testify because you have been with me from the beginning. All right. Verse 7 of 16. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I'm going to send him to you. Verse 13. But when he, again, the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he's going to take of mine everything I said to you, and he's going to make it real to you. Okay? That's real cool, isn't it? I don't know that if that doesn't, that just brings me such peace. Because when I'm thinking, Lord, I'm just not getting this fully. I mean, I know it, but I want to know it. And he's like, okay. I'm there to do that. The Holy Spirit is there to make everything that's yours in Christ real to you. That's what that word disclose it means, to make it real to you. So it's like you're able to walk it out. So in my daily life, it's something very tangible to me where you can touch it. Okay? Not something we just talk about or go to Bible study and talk. It's like, this is real to me. The Holy Spirit is God, will guide you into all truth. And he's your helper. There to help you. Okay? And how you get that into motion is say, ask him for it. Just ask him. Lead me in the truth. Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me. Reveal to me. And he's committed that that's going to happen. And just a couple of verses in John 17. Again, this is the whole purpose for all this stuff of abiding. And familiar verses to us. John 17:11. And this is the final prayer he's praying. He's praying this to the Father, and he's praying this over us. I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Okay? I used to think of this as, oh, he's just praying over the body of Christ so we'll be in unity. But that's not what he's saying. He said, the same way that, Father, that you and I are one, and I'm the Father lives in me by the Holy Spirit, I pray that they would experience the same oneness with us. That all disciples would experience, would be one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like we are. Same kind of unity. All right? Then he prays this in verse 17. Again, this is a word of encouragement to us. It says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified. Something's going to happen that's going to sanctify them in truth. Okay? And that word sanctify just means to set apart. Jesus' prayer for you and for me, Lord, set them apart in truth. Sanctify them, which He did, right? On the cross. It all happened. Set them apart in truth. All right? So He's positioned you into a place, to make it real simple, where you can receive and hear and walk in truth. That was His prayer, that you would sanctify them, set them apart, because when, you know, you got saved or at the cross, then all of a sudden you're immediately in Christ, right? And He lives with you. And you have been set apart, sanctified in truth. To hear truth. Okay? Truth sets you free. Right? So, all the enemy can do, and we hear that over and over again, is lie to you. Truth sets you free. Lies keep you in bondage. Okay? So if you feel yourself in any type of bondage, guilt or shame or any of that, you're believing a lie. Okay? And He has set you apart in truth. So how do I get there? You are there. You've been set apart in truth. Cool, right? Verse 21 again, that they may be one, as you, Father, see, this is that word again, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one again as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in this unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and that you have loved them with the same way that you've loved me. Okay? That's the whole goal. That we would be one. We would experience personally that oneness, that unity. What it means to abide and Him abide in us and us in Him, and what all that means. That was His last prayer for you, that you would get it. That's what He wants us to get. That's what we've been invited into, and that's what He wants us to experience moment by moment. That we're in this awesome atmosphere of God, the Holy Trinity. You're plunged right in the middle of it. And it dwells within us. So we say that all the time over here, that we carry, or we tabernacle the very presence of God within us. Okay? That's His prayer for us. The last prayer He prayed for humanity was this, that you would get it. Okay? Where He wants to bring us. Okay. Now back over into John 15. We kind of hear these verses almost daily. And that's just okay, right? So Jesus is now giving this word picture of what, because He's been using this word, abode and abide, and He just gives them this word picture of this vine. I'm the vine, verse 15:1, and my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, He takes care of it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit, or cleanses it. And that word takes away, you've heard me say this before. We were discussing it the last time we had Bible study on Tuesday night. It's actually the word pick up. It's not like he takes away, removes it. It actually means he picks it up. Like if you have a vine and it's part of it's growing on the ground, it's not going to bear fruit because it's on the ground, right? And so what he does to help it bear fruit is he picks it up. Like someone would pick it up and then tie it off so that it can bear fruit. So that's encouraging, right? That's a great word for me. You know, of areas of my life where some vines are on the ground and they need to be picked up so it can bring forth his life and fruit, he picks it up. That's the Father's job, right? To take care of that. You are already clean or cleansed or pruned because of the word which I've given to you. It's amazing how just one word from him can immediately cleanse us and remind us, right? Then he says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear and brings forth much fruit. Again, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So looking at this word abide, you know, I like the regular definition there in the dictionary, is to accept an act in accordance with truth. Just to accept it, to receive it. So he's given this thing about abiding that we hear this a lot. Bishop Chuck does an awesome job of teaching about it, how the branch is just a part of the vine, which is really true because in context of all of that about being in Christ, you know, he's in us, we're in him, we're in unity with him, so it's all one thing. But that word abide is also in this Greek tense called the aorist tense. Okay? It means it's something that happened in the past but has continual effect on your daily life. Okay? Like Jesus being crucified, something that happened in the past and it has an effect on our daily lives, right? When he uses this word abide, it's that same tense. And I thought, that's interesting. Because you're telling them that something's going to happen that's going to have a continual effect on their lives. You know, of course, he's speaking to the cross. He's speaking to the day of Pentecost when everything that happened at the cross now would come and indwell them. Okay? So if we abide in him and he abides in us, then we will bear much fruit. For apart from him, we can do nothing. You know, for years I would read that and think that bearing fruit was like fruit you bring into the kingdom, like people. You know, like if I bring Ron into the kingdom, he's my fruit. Right? And that's not what it's talking about. We bear the fruit is about the very life of God within us coming forth. Right? And this using this word that he's been talking about, we will come and make our home, our abode with you. We're going to abide in you, just as that branch is abiding in the vine. It's like being in, and this helps me to understand it. It's like being in a room, all right. And there's this chair in this room, and then when you go in and sit in that chair, the very atmosphere, everything in that room is everything you'll ever need for anything, right? And all that you need. The scripture says we have everything pertaining to life and godliness in him, right? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just think about being in this room and everything that you need is there or will ever need for life, everything. And all you have to do is just sit in that chair and receive it. That's what abiding is about. You're living in that atmosphere constantly, all the time. Even though you're doing work, you walk around, you're doing your job. Yeah, but inwardly, you know that you're abiding. You're resting in Him. You're resting in the finished work of Christ. Okay? And when you're, if you're anything like me, when I find myself not doing that, then I walk in a lot of anxious. I get real anxious, right? And all the other stuff that just that opens the door to, where you just life is just kind of squeezing in on you and consuming you, right? So the Lord's been speaking that to me a lot, just become a part of my daily prayer in life. He'll speak to me first, are you abiding? In this moment, are you abiding? And I'm like, no. And he'll say, well, sit down. Sit in that chair. And you know what? You're abiding. And if you're abiding, you're bearing fruit. You're bearing His fruit. You're walking in His peace, His joy, His life, telling you, hey, I got this, or whatever. See what I mean? You're bearing fruit for God. So you can be doing anything. You know, you don't have to be doing something like this, doing something spiritual like this, right? Oh, he's bearing fruit. Well, you know what? Not if I'm not abiding right now. I'm not bearing any fruit. Right? It's just junk. It's like wax fruit. It's nothing, you know? If I'm not abiding. Because he says, apart from him, I can do nothing, right? If I'm not conscious of that, you know, Lord, I don't have to sit there and pray that all the time, but I'm very consciously aware of my need for His presence. Right? And that apart from Him, I can do nothing. And so that invitation to that is just to abide is just to rest in that. Just to rest in that. So that's a better word for me. Right? Because when I think the word abide, I see the word to rest in that. Rest in that reality. And receive it. Because I got to receive it, right? Those who receive the abundant grace, you know, that verse in Romans 5:17, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Those who you're receiving, just like Jesus did, He was constantly receiving from the Father in every situation, giving thanks, receiving. They had seen what abiding looked like in His life, in every situation they ever faced. They're like, oh, that's okay, yeah. Yeah, I get it. I remember. Because He was constantly reminding them, this is what it looks like. So at this moment, like He speaks to me, you're either abiding or you're not. Or in every moment in life, you're abiding or you're not abiding. Now you're in Christ, you're there, right? It doesn't say in that verse 6, which we'll read in a second, it doesn't say that He rips you off as a branch, you know, chunks you away, like you're going to lose all this stuff. He just says, if anyone doesn't ever abide in me, you know, if humanity doesn't abide in me, they're going to dry up. But also for us, a word, if you're not abiding, you dry up. Right? We all know that. Nobody has to tell us that. Our experience is very dry. And there's no fruit. Okay? And everybody around you knows it. As well as you. Can't fake that too long, can you? Like the old... I don't even know if they make wax fruit anymore, do they? They used to be a real popular thing, you know, where people would put wax fruit. Now that looks good. Have you ever picked up a piece and thought, wait a minute, this isn't real? You know? So it doesn't take long for anyone to discover... mainly you, that it's not real fruit. Right? We can only fake it. For so long, and the older you get, the worse it gets. You just can't fake it anymore. You can't push it down. It's like I use every time, you know, constantly in my in counseling that, you know, if you bury a tire, it'll always surface and come back to the top. And no matter how many times you bury it, it will always make its way. And the older you get, the quicker it comes to the top, right? You just can't push it down anymore. So, summing all up, you have the Spirit of truth within you. He wants to give you a revelation of this, of what I'm talking about, of who you are in Christ and what it means to abide in Him moment by moment. So simply ask Him to do it. And then be confident that He's going to do it because He said He would. Because He set you apart to experience truth. Okay? And then ask Him just to remind you, to say, hey, just like you're doing with me, you know, because I gave him permission. It's like tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, are you abiding? No. I'm stressing out, Lord. You know. Well, won't you sit down? Won't you just sit down and receive? I got it. Thank you, Lord. You're right. I wish that was my experience all the time. To further encourage you, it isn't. But it's there. And you're in the room. You understand? It's not a room you have to try to find. You're there. All you have to do is sit, rest, and then receive. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, let's stand.